And we're holding on Samach Gimel Amud Bey's 16 lines from the bottom, a little more than halfway down. They're wide lines. We were in the middle of learning about different things of how priests of Avodah Zarah would work. The last thing we had was the whole scam that they had going over there. When there was a person who had money, they would convince him, you know, to they would put him in a position where they can convince him to give away his money to Avodah Zarah. So now the Gemara continues more on the topic of Avodah Zarah, of the various kinds of Avodah Zarah that existed in those days. So the Pesukim, the Gemara is going to darshin over here, have to do with. So we have in Sefer Melachim, you have the Aseret HaShevatim were taken into Golos by Sanherib and his army. And afterwards, he brought people from other places, from Kusa and various other cities, to repopulate that part of Eretz Yisrael. And originally, they were worshipping Avodah Zarah. Then they were attacked by lions. Then they said, we need to convert to Judaism. That's which is why you have the machlokes throughout Shas, whether they became genuine Gerim or not. In any case, the Pesukim describe over there how, at least for a period of time after their Gerus, they were continuing, they were worshipping Hashem, but Lahavdol, they were also worshipping the Avodah Zarahs as well. And the pasuk goes and describes for each nation which was their chief Avodah Zarah. So again, the question is, did they continue with that all the time, or did they eventually give that up and at some point become genuine Gerim? It's machlokas throughout Shas. Eventually, you have in Chulin, the Gemara explains that eventually they found that they were worshipping an image of a dove on Har Gerizim, which is their main so-called holy place in Eretz Yisrael. And at that point, the Chachamim declared them Goyim Gemurim. Anyway, so the Gemara quotes the, so the Gemara is going to quote the Psukim that describe the Avodah Zarahs that they had there when they first came to Shomron, and it's going to explain one by one what they are. The pasuk says Omer of Yehuda Omer Rab. The pasuk begins by saying the people, the Goyish colonists who had been brought there from the city of Babel or from the country of Babel, made themselves an idol called Sukkos Benois. So the Gemara interjects. What does that mean? That means it was an image of a hen. Sukkos benois, as in Sukkos, Meloshon, that she overshadows and protects her children. So Rashi just says in their language, Sukkos benois was the name for a hen. The idea would be Sukkos means like it covers over, it protects benois, its children, its eggs or its chicks. So that was the first one. The next pasuk continues, Va'anshei Chus also as Nergal. The people who were brought there from Chus made themselves an idol called Nergal, or my new Tarnagol. What is Nergal? Is an image of a rooster. Nergal and Tarnagol are similar letters. Some of these, by the way, I mean, at least with a couple of these, we actually know them, Lahavdil, from various Goyish sources of that time. For example, Nergal is they find in various Babylonian inscriptions and whatever from their time that it was one of their major gods. We even find in Psukim, we find a couple of Nebuchadnezzar's top officials have Nergal in their name. So here, the Gemara may mean that it actually was worshipped in the form of a rooster, and similarly with all the other ones. Or it might be part of this Litzanusa d'Avodah Zarah. We learned a few lines earlier. We learned yesterday that you're allowed to make fun of Avodah Zarah. So maybe the Gemara is kind of, maybe the Pasuk and the Gemara is kind of doing that, saying like here, you know, they think of this Nergal as this mighty war god of theirs or whatever. But really, it's no more significant than taking a rooster and bowing down to it. Anyway, the pasuk continues. Va'anshei Chamos also as Ashima. The people of Chamos made themselves an idol called Ashima. Umayni or Barcha Parcha. What is Ashima? Is an image of an image or a live one maybe of a goat. Barcha means a male goat. Parcha means that it's bald in the sense it doesn't have wool like a sheep. It's a goat. Instead, it has hair. How does Ashima come to mean a goat? So Maharsha points out that it's related to the word shomeim, which means desolate. So like it's desolate of wool, and all it has is hair, which is much less useful. Next, the pasuk continues. Va'avim osu as nivchan, or the way the pasuk says it actually is nivchaz with a zayin. Ve'es tartuk. Next, the people from who were brought there from the city of Ava made themselves two idols, nivchan or nivchaz, really is how it says in the pasuk, and tartuk. What are nivchaz and tartuk? Kelav v'chamer, an image or live. Dog and donkey. Nivchaz would mean a dog because Meloshin Novach, as in the barking of a dog. Tartuk, Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, stands for the words tre tiki, which means two sacks, because that's often how you load up a donkey. And we find in different places in Shas that they would load up, they would have two sacks tied together, one hanging on each side of the donkey. So those were their two avodazaras. And the Pasuk finishes off, Vasfarvim, the people from who were brought there from a place called Sfarvayim, Sirfmas Bnei Ves Bnei Boesh, they would burn their sons and daughters in fire, La'Adramelech Va'Anamelech Elekei Sfarvayim, in honor of Adramelech and Anamelech, the gods of Sfarvayim. Now we're going to talk about later on, we're going to talk about at the bottom of Samach Daladam and Aleph and Samach Daladam and Samach Daladam and Beis, which we're going to talk about the avodazara of Moloch. So is this the same as the Avodah Zarah of Moloch? We'll get to over there. The Gemara seems to say that not. The Gemara understands that the regular Avodah Zarah of Moloch, which we're going to talk about later on, doesn't involve burning the child, just having him walk between, or having him walk or be carried or whatever between two fires. But here, we're describing these people of Sfarvayim would actually burn their children as sacrifices to these idols. So again, what are Adramelech and Anamelech? Umaynihu. So they are hapered vasus, an image of a mule and of a horse. Why are they called that respectively? Adramelech is so called de adrele lemore b'tina. A mule is so it can be nicknamed Adramelech because it honors its master by carrying his burdens. A mule is stronger than a donkey. You can ha carry heavier burdens on it, so therefore it honors it. Adar is malom is it comes from a lotion of honoring, like Adu b'amore Hashem. So it means it honors and respects its master by patiently carrying his burdens. Marsha brings from Radak on the Pasuk. Another possibility is Adar may be related to the Aramaic word dori, which means to carry. So in any case, it carries its master's burdens. The Anamelech, why would a horse be called Anamelech? It answers and it helps its master in battle. You ride a horse into battle, and the horse is sensitive to the instructions you're giving it, and it goes and answers and helps you out in battle. Therefore, it's called Anamelech. So now, having mentioned this whole catalog of Avodah Zarahs that they had, and one of them, the last two we said, are Adramelech and Anamelech, where they would burn children as a korban to it. So the Gemara says, Af Chizkiya Melech Yehuda Bikish Oviv Lasis Lekein. Also with Chizkiyahu, his father, Ochaz, who was a notorious Rasha, wanted to do the same thing to him, to also bring him as a korban to one of these getchkes to which they burn children. Elash sachatu imay salamandra, but his mother, Chizkiah's mother, ahead of time smeared him with the blood of a salamandra, which is a creature the Gemara mentions in other places that's created from fire. You keep a fire burning, you keep a fire of certain materials burning for 7 years straight, and then there comes out of it this little creature called a salamandra, where the smearing the blood of it on a person makes him fireproof. So Chizkiah's mother, knowing that her husband is about to do this, she smeared the stuff on Chizkiah, and that way he was saved from getting burnt. And eventually he became the king of Yehuda, and he got rid of all the Avodah Zarah that his father Ochaz had brought in all over Eretz Yisrael. Later on, by the way, we're going to talk about when it comes to Moloch, that if a person sacrifices all his children, then he's potter for reasons that we're going to discuss over there. Mefarshim point out in this connection, we actually do see from Psukim that Ochaz did have other children as well. You have one of them is mentioned in one of them is mentioned in Sefer Melachim as in Divrei Yomim, rather. One of them is mentioned in Divrei Yomim as having been killed in a battle against the Aseret HaShevatim. And the Pasuk there in Divrei Yomim also mentions that Hevers Bon Nov Ba'esh, that he passed his sons in plural through fire. So the idea might be maybe he started with Chizkiyahu because he was the eldest, and then when he saw that it didn't work out, then maybe he didn't maybe he didn't bother with the other ones, or maybe he did and some of them were killed. We don't really know. So the Gemara continues. So the Gemara continues in this connection now. So Ochaz worshipped Avodah Zarah. Unfortunately, it was a problem over and over again, all the way throughout the time, almost from when they came into Eretz Yisrael until Churban Bayis Rishon. And even as we're going to learn soon, the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah had to beg the Eibishter to take away that Yetzer Hara. So where does this Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah come from in the first place? So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Yodin Ho Yisrael Bavodah Zarah Shein Mamamash. Look, the Jewish people are not stupid. They knew that Avodah Zarah is worthless. The only reason they worshipped Avodah Zarah was in order to be matter them arayas in public. In other words, they had a strong yetzahara for arayas, which is fine. That's a natural human tendency, is to have a yetzahara for that. Now, they know that Eibishter has rules. There's all kinds of rules restricting what you can do as far as arayas. So therefore, so they used as a they use this idea, we'll worship Avodah Zarah and we'll believe in that. And Avodah Zarah, the various pagan gods don't care about these kinds of things. As long as we bring them their korbanos and whatever, then they're happy. So therefore, that gave them the excuse, then the license to do whatever they want. So the Gemara says, Masiv Rav Masharshia. Rav Masharshia says, wait a minute. So you're telling me the Jewish people didn't really have a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah per se. It was more just as an excuse to be able to do other things. But we find a pasuk that we find a pasuk, when their children remember their mizbechus. So the pasuk is talking about how they remember and how much they miss their altars of Avodah Zarah when they don't have them. And Ve'omer Rabbi Elazar, Ka'odem Sheyesh LeGagurin Al B'noi. That means they had the kind of feeling towards their altars and temples of Avodah Zarah, like the way when a person misses his son, and every time he thinks about him, like he misses him and he krechtses about him. So we're saying, in other words, so obviously that means that they had a very strong taiva to Avodah Zarah itself, so much that they miss it when they can't be near it. And we learned yesterday they had their pocket-sized Avodah Zarahs, etc. So the answer is Boso da Aviku Bay. Yeah, after they got attached to Avodah Zarah, Aviku comes from a in Aramaic, Ovik, or however you pronounce it, whatever, means a loop of rope, like you tie two things together. So after they got tied to Avodah Zarah, then they started becoming addicted to it, and then eventually they developed feelings for it, and they actually started. And we got to the point that we're saying over here where they would actually miss it when they can't have it around. But originally, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav is telling us the initial thing, what brought them to that in the first place, was not a real hankering for Avodah Zarah, but rather a hankering for Arayas and using Avodah Zarah as an excuse to be able to get to it. But meanwhile, Yirmiyah, which is what this pasuk is from, is talking about how things developed over the hundreds of years. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. So fine, the previous pasuk was from Yirmiyah. You could say that's describing how things were after several hundred years of Avodah Zarah. But now we have a pasuk in the Torah. V'nasati pigrechem al pigre gululeichem. The pasuk describes as part of the Toichacha in Parshas Bechukosai. Hashem says, "I will make your carcasses, your dead bodies, be on top of the carcasses of your idols." Meaning, in other words, your idols are going to be destroyed, and your own dead bodies are going to fall on top of those. So, what does that mean? Omru. They said that here is the following story that illustrates what happened. Eliyahu Tzadik Koyemachazer al Eliyahu HaNavi was going around and circulating among the people who were swollen from hunger in Yerushalayim. So before the Churban Bayis tradition, there was a siege lasting 2.5 years. It began in Asara B'Tevis, and 2.5 years later, Tisha B'Av, they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Meanwhile, there was a tremendous lack of food in Yerushalayim because of the siege. So eventually people were swollen from hunger. We have many different psukim and Ma'amar Chazal telling about details of that. So Eliyahu HaNavi is going around among them to see if there's anything he can do to help them. One time he finds a child who's swollen from hunger, umoto ba'ashba, and lying in the garbage heap, like he doesn't have the koyach to go anywhere or do anything or even to look for food. So they all ask the child, "What family are you from?" So the child says, "Is there anybody left alive from that family?" Omaloi lav, and the child says, "No, chutz mimeni, I'm the only one left." Omaloi, so Leo tells him, "Imani melamedcha dover, if I can I teach you something? I'd like to teach you something. Sha'ata chai boy, which you'll be able to live with that. Ata lomed, are you willing to learn it?" Omaloi hein, so the child says yes. Omaloi, so the Yahu tells him, "Emer b'choyom Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad." Every day you should say Shema. Normally the child's father should have been teaching him that. The Gemara mentions in Sukkah that once a child is old enough to speak, then the first thing that the father should be teaching him is Krishna. But here the father hadn't done that because the family were worshiping Avodah Zarah. So now Eliyahu is offering to teach the child that. that for the first time. Omar Loy, so the child answers back, Has Shalola has Gubashem Hashem. Quiet. Don't even mention the name of Hashem. This expression Has Lo Kilola has Gubashem Hashem is actually borrowed from a pasuk in a different context in the Nevuah of Amos. Anyway, the child says, my father and mother never taught me such a thing. I've always learned about Avodah Zarah. I'm not taking on Hashem and saying Shema. Imagine this child in this state is still thinking that way. Right away, he took out his getchka from his lap, which, as we learned yesterday, they had their little pocket-sized getchkas in their laps. And he was hugging and kissing it, like, you want me to believe in Hashem? No, I have this that I believe in and that I love. Until his stomach split open from hunger, and his idol fell onto the ground, and his body fell on it. And that literally fulfilled the pasuk that his dead body fell on the dead Avodah Zarah. So we see, in other words, the way this child is talking, that no, I want nothing to do with Hashem, and he's even in his last moments, he's hugging and kissing the Avodah Zarah. That shows they had a pretty strong Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah itself, not just for Arayas, especially this kid in this story, as Papashas, not old enough yet for Arayas. For Yetzirah for Arayas. And again, the Gemara answers, Bosa da Aviku Bey, same answer. Yeah, once they became addicted to Avodah Zarah, then they developed feelings for it, and eventually you have the end result of it. Is this child and the way that he reacted. But when we're talking about originally, hundreds of years earlier, when they first got into Avodah Zarah, then it's for the reason that Rav Yehuda says, not because they were smart enough to realize that it's just, but they wanted an excuse to serve Arayah, to do Arayahs, to be Mezana. Next, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring another proof. And this one is going to be the whole long story of how the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah took away the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. So since we see they required Hashem to take away the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, then that means they actually had a strong Yetzirah for it. So again, the answer is going to the ultimate answer is going to be again Bosa da Aviku Bey, that after they became addicted to it, and so now it itself became an independent Yetzirah of itself, and therefore the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah had to take strong steps to get rid of it. But the Gemara is going to actually tell the whole story. So Toshma. The pasuk says in Nehemiah, which originally was part of Sefer Ezra, the pasuk describes how they had a massive gathering of all the Jews there in front of the Harabayas, and it's a massive gathering for everybody to do tshuva and for the Levium to daven on behalf of the Jewish people. They said a whole long tefillah over there. Parts of it we say in morning davening. The parts that we say from Yivorchu Shem Kvodecha until Kmo Evan B'mayim Azim all comes from that tefillah, and then they continued on from many psukim. After that, describing all the things that Hashem did for us over the years, and how Hashem kept on having Rachmanos on us, even though we kept on misbehaving, and begging the Eibishter to have Rachmanos on us now also in Golos. Anyway, so the pasuk introduces it by saying, "Vayizaku b'kol gadol el Hashem elokeihem." They screamed out with a loud voice to Hashem their God. So my Omer, what were they saying when we're saying that they screamed out in a loud voice? What were they saying? Now, Marsha says, what do you mean? What are they saying? We have over there a tefillah of 30 odd psukim over there. What it means is that, so what it means is, in other words, yes, they said that they did. What you have is in the psukim over there, you have like this. First it says, Vayizaku b'kol gadol el Hashem elokeihem. Then it says that the Levim, and it names the Levim, the heads of the Levim who were there, said to the people, Kumu borchu es Hashem elokeihem, come, get up and bench Hashem in olam ad olam, and they begin with the tefillah of Yivorchu Shem Kvodecha, and they continue from there. So therefore, for the Vayizaku b'kol gadol, the Gemara is understanding, is not the tefillah itself, but rather something before that tefillah. So what was it? Omer of Yehuda, the Itamer of Yonasan, their tefillah, their screaming to the Eibishter was as follows. They start baya baya, whoa whoa, baya is a lashon in Aramaic of crying and then pleading. Like Rashi says, like you have in Tanakh all over the place, you have the word aha, which is often an introduction to a tefillah to a tefillah. So in Aramaic, baya serves the same purpose. So they're saying Hashem, whoa whoa. Look at this Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. So this is what caused the Beis Hamikdash to be destroyed.
and caused the heichal to be burnt, meaning, in other words, you could have had, conceivably, the Beis Hamikdash could have been destroyed, the buildings could have been knocked down, but there didn't have to be a fire. Instead, there was a fire, which is, as Maharsha points out in other places in Shas, is the most destructive of all the natural forces that Ibishta created in the world. The Katlinu Latzadiki, it caused the Tzadikim were killed, Va'aglinu Liyisrael Me'arayo, and it caused the Jewish people to go into Golos from their land, Va'adayin Hu Merakid Beinan, it's still dancing among us, meaning, in other words, they're saying, look, as long as we were in Golos Bavel, fine, maybe that Yetzirah was kept at bay. People are up and close and up close and personal with the Goyim. They can see what Avodah Zarah really is, the shtus of it, so therefore that helps keep them away from it. But now we're coming to build the second Beis HaMikdash. And we settle in Eretz Yisrael, and there's the danger that we're going to fall into the same trap all over again. So they say, after all, did you give us, what's the whole point of the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah? Why'd you give us such a Yetzirah? Is only to receive reward that we should withstand it and not worship Avodah Zarah, and then we'll get a reward from the Eibishter for that. But loy iu ba'inan v'loy agri ba'inan, the Levium, the Anshe Knesset Gedolah, the heads of the Anshe Knesset Gedolah are saying over there, now, no, we don't want it, and we don't want its reward. It's too powerful. It's too powerful for us. We can't stand it anymore. Marsha goes into a long discussion over here. I mean, so what do we say? You could say that about any Aveda. You could say that you gave us the Yetzirah, and therefore it's kind of not our fault that we're falling into it. So Marsha explains in some detail that after all, it's true. A person does have a responsibility to withstand their Yetzirah, but on the other hand, you have a different Gemara, where it says that you have a Gemara in Brochus that says that after all, Hashem himself recognizes that he gave us a Yetzirah, and therefore, like it serves as a certain excuse to a certain degree for the fact that we do have Eiris, and Hashem himself promises to take away the Yetzirah la'asid lavai completely. So now, the Anshe Knesset Gedolah are saying that in this particular case, in this particular case, as far as this Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah has just gotten too powerful for us, and we're afraid of the consequences of it. In fact, he explains in this vein near the end of their tefillah. So here we're saying they're screaming out, and this whole thing is a separate thing from their tefillah. But afterwards, they have their tefillah, and near the end of it, they say the pasuk, which we also say in a few places in davening, "Va'ata tzaddik al kol ha'ba'al leinu," you are a tzaddik for everything that's happened to us. Ki emes asisa, because you did truth. Va'anachni hushonu, we've been wicked. Meaning, Marsha says they're saying with that, it's true. You're the truthful one. You made the Yetzirah. And it should have been our job to withstand it, and we didn't. We messed up, we did badly, and we didn't. But now we're begging you, Eibishter, to please take it away from us. So again, the Gemara answers before it continues with the story that again the answer is Bosu Da'avikube. Here they're talking about after they had gotten addicted to it, so therefore they have to plead with the Eibishter to take away that Yetzirah. But it's true. Originally, it would have been much easier to defeat it. The Gemara, by the way, mentions in Erchin, the Gemara mentions that in one place in those psukim, Yehoshua's name, Yehoshua ben Nun, his name is spelt without the hey that would usually be in it. It's spelt Yeshua. And the Gemara explains over there that's meant as a criticism of Yeshua. In his time, when they first came into Eretz Yisrael, when they first had the schus of Eretz Yisrael, would have been a perfect time to get the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah taken away because it was much weaker. It was much weaker then. So he should have done that. He should have relied on the schus of Eretz Yisrael to ask the Eibishter to take away the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah from the Jewish people then, and then you wouldn't have had all the consequences that flowed from it over hundreds of years. But here, l'achar ha'maisa, now the Anshe Knesset Gedolah are taking care of the matter. So the Gemara continues the story. They sat and they fasted for 3 days. Bo Rachmi, and during all that time, they're begging for Rachmim from the Eibishter to take away this Yetzirah. Nafalahu piska mirakiya da havaksib ba emes. A note fell down for them from Shemayim that said the word emes, which means that Hashem accepted their tefillah and is going to answer it. We see from this that Hashem's seal is truth. So like Hashem, so to speak, signed off on what they're doing and sent down this message, Min HaShemayim, to show that he approves of what they're doing. The Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah came out in the form of a lion of fire from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why from the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Of all places, is because, after all, the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, I mean, as much as we're saying it was a horrible Yetzer Hara and they're begging to be rid of it, it actually, in a certain sense, it actually comes from a place of kedusha. First of all, we find that there were even times when the kings of Yehuda placed idols in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but in a certain sense, in a very twisted way, it comes from a place of Kedusha. One idea being, one of the many explanations here, the Gemara is saying before that it originally came about as an excuse, but still, ultimately, when they developed feelings for it, part of it was that a person in those days had a certain Yetzer Hara to want to be close with the one he worships. The person is going to believe in and worship a god, then it has to be one that he can feel a closeness with. You have to put an effort in order to have that closeness with the Eibishter. So here we're saying that they didn't want that; they wanted the lazy way out. So therefore, they're using Avodah Zarah. But that mentality that you want to—it's not just that you're worshiping and davening and bringing korbanos or whatever, going through the motions. That you actually have feelings for the one. Now that comes from a place of kedusha. So therefore, in token of that, it came out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In fact, it's brought in some places that as a result of, here the Anshei Knesset HaGdola successfully got rid of the Avodah Zarah, as we're going to go on to say in the story, the result of that was that Nevuah also went away. Zevo Maseh also Elikim. So therefore, if we don't have this powerful connection, this powerful Yetzer Hara to be close anymore, then the result of that is that we don't have that powerful ability to be close to Hashem with Nevuah either. Anyway, so it came out as a lion of fire. Omelahu Novi Yisrael, the Novi Zechariah, who was there, say he was one of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, he says to the Jewish people, Hainu Yitzra Avodah Zarah, you see that fiery lion, that is the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, go get it. Bahadi to Kotaf Silei, as they're grabbing it to take it over, to get rid of it, Ishtimit Benisa Minei, a hair fell out of it, and it screamed in pain. And the sound of its roar traveled for 400 parsa, representing, in other words, the point that getting rid of the Yetzer Hara is not going to be such a simple task. It's not just a matter of you have this one lion and you get rid of it. It's a big, powerful thing. The one hair falling out of it, among other things, represents the idea, as the Gemara says elsewhere, that the Yetzer Hara begins as a single hair, and eventually, if a person doesn't withstand it, then it grows bigger and bigger. Omru, so the Anshei Knesset HaGdola said, Heichi Nevin, what should we do now? Duma Mishmaya, Merachmi Alein. Maybe Hashem is going to have Rachmanus on this Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, because now we're with the one hair falling out and it's screaming and roaring in pain. Omelahu Navi, so the Navi tells them, don't worry about that. Shadyuhu Beduda Da'avra, place this fiery lion inside a pot made out of lead. And cover it with a covering made out of lead. Deshayif kolei, lead has the property of absorbing sound. So like this, so to speak, the sound of the roaring of the lion won't be heard anymore. So dichtiv, as we actually find, a pasuk in Zechariah, vayomer zois horisha, he says, this is the wickedness. So this is where, so in context, the pasuk is talking about something else over there. But the Gemara is understanding now that it means this is the wickedness. He's telling them this is the Yetzer Hara of the wickedness of Avodah Zarah that you've been davening to get rid of. Here it came to you. So the pasuk continues. Vayashlich oisel teicha eifa. He threw it into an eifa, into a large container that they had over there. That the pasuk describes in the previous few pesukim. Vayashlich as even hoiferas alpia. And he put a lead cover on top of it, representing, in other words, that here they trapped the Yetzer Hara inside that, and that was the end of the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. What does that part about the lead symbolize? For one thing, it means there still exists the Yetzer Hara. I don't think we've gotten rid of the Yetzer Hara completely. The Yetzer Hara is like lead. It can really weigh a person down. And you do have to be careful. You do have to make sure not to succumb to it. But at least as far as this Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, now it's gone. Now it's gone from the world. And so what the Anshei Knesset HaGdola wanted to accomplish was fulfilled. So Maharsha points out some other details in this. The fact that it appeared to them as a lion of fire. The lion is the mazel of Chodesh Av, where the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in that month. So now that's why it appeared to them in that form. And then when we say over here the hair that fell out of it means that there's still going to be the hair. Maharsha explains represents Seir, as in the hairy one, meaning there's still going to be a second Churban also in Chodesh Av. The crying out, the lion crying out, is like Esav crying out after he found he was deprived of the brachas. So now the Chachamim are concerned about that. We need to be mevatel his koyach as well. So therefore, so by putting it inside the lead line thing means at least that we're weakening that power of Risha. You have the pasuk where losa tikvatz pia, the mouth of wickedness is closed up. So therefore, in other words, like they're not able to destroy it completely at that point. There is still going to be a malchus edom, and there is going to still be a churban bayis sheni, but at least they weakened its power with this. Well, the Gemara continues. Amri, the Anshik Nesagdala said, Hove Eis Rotzen Hu, since we see now it's an Eis Rotzen, and the Eibishter has given us over this Yetzahara of Avodah Zarah, Niboy Rachmi Ayitzra Da Avera. Let's take the opportunity and also daven for Rachmanus for the Yetzahara of Avera, meaning Znus. We know there were three things for which the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Avodah Zarah, Gila Arayis, Shvichas Damim. So now that we've dealt with Avodah Zarah, let's deal with Gila Arayis. So they dive into the Eibishter for Rachmanus, and sure enough, that Yetzirah was handed over to them as well. They imprisoned it for 3 days. Now here the Gemara just says they imprisoned it for 3 days. In the Gemara also tells the story in Yuma, and there in Yuma it actually says that that Yetzirah itself spoke to them and told them, you know what, better not destroy me. If you do, you're going to destroy the whole world, as the Gemara explains over here what that means. Ibo Beis Abas Yoma, they were looking afterwards for an egg that was laid that day, L'choyla, for a sick person, V'loy Ashkocho, and they couldn't find. Because what happened was, now that they're about to destroy the Yetzihara of Arayas, of Znus, so it meant that there's not going to be, people are not going to have, people and even creatures, even like chickens, are not going to have B'chlal, a taiva, for even having relations and having children. Why do people or even animals go through all that trouble of raising their children and all? Is because they have a taiva for arayas. They have a taiva for having relations, and therefore they're willing to go through the hardships. But if there's no taiva for relations anymore, then even the chickens are not going to be interested in laying eggs. So they realize it's true, the world can't survive like that. Omru, so they said, Heichi Nevin, now what should we do? Niboy Pauga, should we ask that only half of the Yetzirah should be given over to us, that a person should still have a natural tendency to having to marrying and having relations and mating, or in the case of animals, mating? You can't do that. There's a rule. Hashem doesn't give things by halves. You ask Hashem for something, you're not picking and choosing what part of it you get. Again, Zelo Maser, also like him. So what they did is they put out its eyes. Kachalinu literally means they put koichal, a type of eye shadow. They would use it in those days for healing eyes, but sometimes also they could use it in order to blind a person. So here, that's what the Gemara means. They blinded it. So they blinded it by putting koichal into its eyes, and they let it go. Now, what does that accomplish? It accomplishes that a normal person doesn't have a Yetzirah for his close relatives. So he still has a Yetzirah for a goita, or for a nida, or for Eishes Ish, but at least this way it takes away some of the force of that Yetzirah. It makes it, for example, a halacha, a man is allowed to be in yichud with his daughter. As a normal person doesn't have a Yetzirah for such a thing. So that was accomplished by blinding this Yetzirah. So now the Gemara, so we see, in other words, so we see from this whole discussion that, again, they started with the Avodah Zarah, they started with the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah because of something else, because of Arayas, and the end of it was that the Chachamim were able to destroy or almost destroy the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, but nevertheless, you still have, there's still some of the Yetzirah of Arayas left. One point with this, by the way, is, I mean, it's not like since then you never had Jews worship Avodah Zarah again, but the point is, in other words, after that, when a Yid worships Avodah Zarah, is basically because he's assimilating altogether, because he wants nothing to do with Yiddishkeit at all. So you have, unfortunately, you have the Misyavnim after that, you have different other people from then until now. What we mean over here by this Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, the Chum Mevatel, means, for example, back then you had a person during the time of the first Beis Mikdash, you might have a person who thinks of himself as a Frum Yid. I keep Shabbos, I eat kosher. Sure, I do. I bring korbanos. I do all the other mitzvahs, and I worship Avodah Zarah. It would be like, you know, the way nowadays people don't consider themselves any less of a good yid for the fact, let's say, that they speak, that they talk lashon hara, or the fact that they're not always so honest in business or whatever. So that was the mentality they had in those days about Avodah Zarah. It's one mitzvah. It's not a big deal. But now what it is you have like the Alter Rebbe describes in Tanya we had in the last few days that a person realizes that Yetzer Hara is beyond the pale. If he's going to be worshiping it, Rachman Latzlan, it means that he's generally fallen away from Yiddishkeit. It's not just one specific Avera. And even then, as the Alter Rebbe explains, sometimes you have even the most assimilated Yid realizes when it comes to actual literal Avodah Zarah, then he realizes that's it, the jig is up, and he's then he's going to make the right choice. All right, the Gemara continues. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav. Now, we learned in the Mishnah about Baal Pa'ur, the Avodah Zarah, that they would worship by going to the bathroom in front of it. So let's talk about that. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav. Maisa ben Nochris Achas Shoysa Choyla B'Yosef. There was a certain Goyish woman who was very sick. Omra, so she makes a neder for herself. If that woman, if I recover from her illness, then in gratitude she'll go and worship every avodah zarah in the world. I'll give them all credit for the fact that I recovered, and I'll go worship each one of them. Sure enough, sure enough, she went and started worshiping every avodah zarah in the world. Kibin she gila pa'ur, she comes to pa'ur, shalol koimrim bameh oivdin lazu. So they asked that she asked the priest, how is this one worship? Omrullah, so they told her, Oichlin Trodin, you eat beets which help loosen the person's bowels. Veshoisin Shecher, and you drink beer, same thing, that also has a laxative effect. Rashi points out specifically we mean new beer, fresh beer has that effect. Omatrizin Mefanel, and then you go and squirt out and go squirt out diarrhea in front of it. That's the way to worship it. Omra, she says to herself, "Mutav shetachzer ahi isha l'choya." That's disgusting. She says, "I would rather go back and be sick again, v'leitavet avodah zarah b'kach, and not worship avodah zarah in such a way." Even she, a goita, recognizes what a repulsive kind of avodah zarah that is. There's a difference. There's a medrash also that mentions a nobleman who one time is passing along and comes to a place of Avodah Zarah, and he is told the same thing, and he actually has his soldiers who are with him beat up the priests over there, saying what kind of lowlifes, what kind of disgusting thing are you doing over here? However, then Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav continues, Atem b'nei Yisrael ein and kein. However, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, unfortunately, we find you Jewish people are not like that. Look at you. You got involved with Baal Pa'ur. And it's smodim l'Baal Pa'ur. Moshe describes, the Pasuk describes the narrative at the end of Parshas Balak, describes the people, hanitzmodim leval pa'ur, the people who became attached to Baal Pa'ur. And what's this word, hanitzmodim? Kitzomid psil. Means they became as closely attached to it as a tzomid psil to a container, which is a covering on a container. It comes up in Hilchos Tumah Vatara, that's tightly attached and tightly fitted to the container. So in other words, like you're very strongly attached to this Avodah Zarah. As opposed to v'atam advekim b'Hashem alekechem, as opposed to Yav Moshe says to the Jewish people, you let's contrast with the people who got involved with Baal Pa'ur, you who are stuck to Hashem alekechem, implying not as strong a connection. K'shtei t'moras advukas zubazu, you with Hashem are like two figs that are stuck one to another, which are not so tightly stuck one to another. So in other words, Moshe is, the contrast is, Moshe is saying to them, look at this, when it comes to Pa'ur, you got really strongly attached to it, but when it comes to Hashem, you don't seem to have that same closeness that you have to Hashem. Marsha connects this with the previous Gemara. We said that they got into Avodah Zarah only in order to be matter them Arayas. Well, that's the point. How did they get into Baal Pa'ur? Later in the Masechta, in the last Perek, we're going to talk about how did the Benois Midian seduce them into Baal Pa'ur in the first place. It's because they offered to have relations with them, and therefore they got them into that. So therefore they have this powerful connection as a result of that. Whereas with Hashem, you don't seem to have such a strong connection. However, the Gemara says, "B'masnisetona." In a brayser, we learn the other way around that these psukim are actually in praise of the Jewish people. Hanitzmodim l'val pa'ur means not just such a strong connection. Kitzamid ayudei isha means like a tzamid, like a bracelet on a woman's arm, which is not quite so tightly fitted. As opposed to v'atam advekim Hashem alekechem means dvukim b'mamash, means really tightly connected to Hashem. So, in other words, basically the question is which one represents a stronger connection, tzamid or dovuk. So Rav Yehuda is saying again. Rav Yehuda is saying, according to what he said before, that they got into Baal Pa'ur in order to get into Arayas. So therefore, so they were strongly connected to that. Because the fact is they had this taiva for the Bnei Smoyav, and therefore they weren't so strongly connected to Hashem because they wanted this excuse of Arayas, as opposed to the Braisa is taking the other way around, that the Baal Pa'ur was really only, since it wasn't after all, for one thing, what they were doing over there, Faket, they weren't quite so strongly connected. It's an avash tluya bedover, as opposed to our connection with Hashem is an avash ain tluya bedover, and therefore ain a betayla loylam, like it says in Pirkei Avos, and therefore it's stronger. The Gemara continues. Tanan Abanan, Maisa be Savta ben Alos. So it happened once with a yid by the name of Savta ben Alos. There's different gersoys over here, whether it's Ben Alos, Min Alos, whatever. So either Alos is his father's name, or it's a name of the place that he came from. Anyway, Shehisku Chamor Lenochris Achas. He rented out his donkey to a goiter who needed it to ride. Kivinchi Gila Pa'ur, when she reached, she passed by a temple of Pa'ur. Omraloi, she tells him, Hampton, Ad Sheikonis Ve'etze, wait until I go in and go out. I have business over here. She says, so he says to her, you also, he thought there's a bathroom over there. So he says, wait until I also go in and go out. Until I go in and go out. She says, aren't you a Jew? What would you be doing in such a place? So he says to her, what do you care? He doesn't realize that this is a matter of Avodah Zarah. He thinks it's the bathroom. Nichnas, he went in par b'fonav, he opened up in front of it, he started going to the bathroom in front of it, v'kinach b'choytmai, and even at the end, he wiped himself with the nose of the idol. The priests, they were praising him, and they're saying, ma'olam lo'hoya odom sh'ovdei l'zu b'kach, nobody ever worshipped this Avodah Zarah as well as you just did. Actually, Maor Shor points out a different possibility. Mekalsin actually kind of has a double meaning. It can mean to praise. It can also mean to mock. It's actually an interesting difference in terminology between Tanakh and the Gemara. In Tanakh, when it uses the Shodash Kelas, Kuflamed Samach, it means to mock. In Gemara, it generally means to praise. In fact, Tosfos at the top of the Amud over here points out, we talked about this before, that the name of the idol Merkulis that we talked about in the Mishnah, where we said that you throw stones to it, Tosfos says the real name of it was Kilos, which means praise. The Chachamim, we don't want to call on it as a praise, so instead they changed it to Merkulis, where Mer means instead of. So it means instead of the praise, you're using the other meaning of Kilos, which means to degrade it. Anyway, the point is that the point is then, so Maor Shor says it can also mean Kalsinoisa, they're making fun of him. Look at this. Here we know you Jews are not worshipping Avodah Zarah anymore. The Yetzirah for it has long since been gotten rid of. And here, look at this. Look how well you worship this one. Now, does that mean that the Savta would actually be Chayav Achatas for it? Misa, of course not. There was no Edim Vasra, but would he be Chayav Achatas? So in this and the next story, that the Gemara mentions over here, the Tosfos mentions that maybe not, actually, because it would have to be at least that he intends to worship it in a way of Bizoyan. Now, the Gemara is going to explain that when it comes to Pa'ur and Merkulis, even though he intends to go to the bathroom in front of it, which is a degrading thing, or throw stones, in the case of Merkulis, then he's Chayev, but Tosfos learns that means specifically when he actually means to worship it with that. Because otherwise, Tosfos points out, we learned about me'ava or me'yira. We learned about when a person worships Avodah Zarah because of ulterior motives, because of ava or yira, however we define those the other day. So therefore, that being the case then, if he just goes to the bathroom over there, like the Savta, not knowing that it's an act of Avodah Zarah, then maybe Taka shouldn't be Chayev. So Tosfos discusses this over here, a few dafim earlier. Tosfos also discusses on the other hand, the Gemara had mentioned that according to Rava, we said that a person worships Me'ava V'yirei is Potter. So the Gemara had mentioned you have a case where Oimer, what would be Shoigig, would be Oimer Mutter, would be where he thinks that it's Mutter to worship Avodah Zarah in the first place. But according to that, why do you need that? We have what we're saying over here, that he goes to the bathroom in front of Pa'ur and he doesn't know that he's worshiping it with that b'chlal. So there's a lot of discussion among achronim how to reconcile these things and what does that mean exactly. What exactly is this case in which a person is what is the case where a person is actually chayav for doing it b'shoigeg versus not? So again, according to Tosfos over here, you would say that you would say that that the Savta in the case of Reb Menashe, Gemara is going to point out soon, maybe they would actually be potter because they didn't actually intend to worship it. On the other hand, Marsha says maybe what Tosfos means is there's a difference between chiyuv misa and chatas. Maybe Tosfos is saying in order to be chayav misa, he has to actually intend to worship it. So in other words, in this case, even if they had told Savta beforehand, you know, this is the way the Avodah Zarah is worshipped, if he had gone and done that, then maybe he wouldn't be chayav misa for it because he didn't truly intend to worship it, and at worst, it's like my avo meira. On the other hand, to being a chatas, Marsha says maybe he would be chayav a chatas regardless. So the Gemara says, when we said Hazurik Evan Lamerkulus Zuhi Avidasa, when we said in the sorry, I skipped. So the Mishnah had said, Apoyer Atzmel Baal Pa'ur Hareza Avidasa. We said in the Mishnah that a person goes to the bathroom in front of Baal Pa'ur, that is the Avoida. So that means, again, Afogavda, Miskavin the Bizui. Even though he means to be Mavazet, nevertheless, he would still be Chayev. So he would still be Chayev, a Korban. Now Rashi says if they gave him Asra, he would be Chayev Misa. But again, according to at least the way that, at least according to how Marsha learns Tosfos, it might be that Misa, he would never be Chayev, where he means to be Mevazeh, and the only way that he'd be Chayev Misa is if he actually intended to worship it with that. But Achatos, according to Marsha, he would have to bring regardless. Similarly, Hazardic Evan the Merkulus, Zui Avidase, same way, if he throws a rock at Merkulus, that's the normal way of worshipping it. Again, Afogav the Mekavan the Mirgame, even though he means to stone it, nevertheless, that is the normal way of its Avoda. So if he actually intends to be Oivid it, then he's definitely Chayev. If he's not meaning to be Oivid it, then you have this Macholikus, what exactly would he be Chayev? So the Gemara tells a story. Reb Menashe have a ka'ozel lebeit Tursa. Reb Menashe one time was traveling to a place called Beit Tursa. So they told him, you should know, on the way over here, there is an Avodah Zarah. He took a clod of dirt and threw it at it to mock the Avodah Zarah. He wants to mock or do whatever he can to do against Avodah Zarah. Then the people told him, wait a minute, Merkulis, what you just threw at is a Merkulis. So that was worshipping it. Omalahu said, Menashe says, wait a minute, Hazurik Evan Lamerkulus Tanan. It only says that a person is Chayev when he says that he throws it to Merkulus, meaning in order to honor it. I didn't throw it in order to honor it. I threw it to I threw it to be Mevazeh. So I shouldn't be Chayev. Well, Osa Shol Be Medrash, he went and asked at the Beis Medrash. Omrulay, they explained to him, no, Hazorik Evan Bim Merkulis Tznan. The Mishnah is saying that he throws a stone at Merkulis, meaning not like you think Lim Merkulis, only if he's doing it for the sake of the Merkulis in order to honor it, in order to worship it. No, Bim Merkulis, just throwing the stone, or in your case, the clod of dirt at the Merkulis is enough to make is enough to make you chayev. So therefore, so they're telling him you'd be chayev. The Yad Rama says that actually maybe he wouldn't be completely chayev since he didn't know and maybe it wouldn't even be b'shoigeg because he didn't even know ahead of time that it was a Merkulis. So maybe it's a, maybe Reb Menashe is just concerned about the Maris Ayin in it to know for the future. Or actually the Maris Ayin will be the next thing rather. So they tell him Bim Merkulis Tanan Afagav de Mekavan Lemirgame. So even if you intend to stone it and to degrade it, not to worship it, nevertheless, you did something wrong. Omalahu says his Azel Eshkala. Okay, in that case, let me go and find that clod of dirt and I'll take it away from there. That way, at least it's not being beautified by having another clod of dirt there among all the other rocks. So here is where the Yad Rama says, maybe he means with that, at least it's not going to take away the fact that he threw it before, but at least it'll be from Maris Ayin. At least it won't look like it's there and it's constantly beautifying the Avodah Zarah. Omrulay, the Chum told him, don't do that. Echad anoitla v'echad anoisna chayev, because whether a person takes away, whether a person puts or throws a rock at Merkulis, or whether he takes one away, either way he's chayev, Misa or Chatas or whatever, as the case may be, because every stone that's taken away leaves room for other stones to be thrown over there. So in other words, the idea is that Rashi implies, and the Chazon Ish teaches out, what it means is that itself is part of the method of worshiping a Merkulis is by sometimes taking away and clearing away the stones in order to make room for other people to put them. So therefore, so now, uh, so so uh, So now, therefore, they tell the Menashe, it's too late. You can't take away your stone, because then that's also taking it away is a normal way of worshiping it, and then you're right, you're going to be chayev. Another point you could also understand is that the stones are kind of like interlocking over there, and you take away one, all of them fall. So therefore, that would all be part of it. It's clearing away space. Okay. Moving along with the next thing that we learned, in the Mishnah back on Daf Nun Gimel, we have the list of people who are chayev skila. So we've been going through them and explaining about the details of them. So now we're up to the next one. Hanosin mizari la moilach. A person gives over of his descendants to moilach. Now, so the Mishnah describes what does he need to what's the ritual, what's the ceremony that's done for that would make him chayev. Ain't chayev, when is he chayev skila? Ad sheyimser lamoilach. Only if he gives over the child to Moilach, which the Gemara is going to explain, means, in other words, that he gives it over to the priests of Moilach, and they walk there's a machlokas who's showing him actually what happens. Does that mean, now Rashi learns it means that he gives it over to the priests, and then they themselves walk the child over between the fires, as we're going to learn on Amud Beis. As opposed to a number of Rishonim, the Rambam and the Ramban and other Rishonim learn that it means he gives him to the priests, like, so to speak, symbolically giving him to the Avodah Zarah, and then the father or whichever parent, or the grandfather or whatever, takes the child and himself walks him through over there. You also have the machloikas. The Rambam says very strongly that this absolutely does not result in the burning and killing of the child. When we learned before about Adramelech and Anamelech, the case Favayim, and about Ochaz and all of that, that was a different thing. That wasn't Moilach per se, but something else. On the other hand, the Ramban learns, and a number of the Mefoshim who talk on Pshat level also learn that Moilach does involve burning the child. Anyway, the Mishnah continues. So it has to be that sheyim sola moilach, that he hands him over to moilach, meaning to the priests of moilach, the yaver ba'esh, and that he passes him through fire or between the fires in honor of moilach. Mosa lamoilach v'lo hever, if he gave him to the priests, but he didn't have him pass through the fire, v'lo hever ba'esh v'lo mosa lamoilach, ena chayev ad sheyim sola moilach, v'yaver ba'esh, he's chayev only if he actually does both parts of the ritual. Meaning, in other words, the Orach HaNer also explains that it means not only if he does only one part of it is he potter, but also, which would still mean it's also to do, but he's potter. The Orach HaNer explains the Mishnah by adding this last part is also saying that if he does them in reverse order, he's also potter. If he were to pass him through the fires and then give him over to the priest of Avodah Zarah, then he'd also be potter. On the other hand, therefore, that's why the Mishnah repeats that point to say that to say that he, that that it needs to be not only these two things but also in that order. So the Gemara says, "Katoni avodah zarah v'katoni moilach." Now, earlier in the Mishnah, when we had the list of the 18 people who are chayev skila, it mentioned people who worship avodah zarah, and then it also mentioned moilach separately. Now, why? The Mishnah, the same way as the Mishnah doesn't, the Mishnah, when it comes to the details of Avodah Zarah, it mentioned, for example, Pa'ur and Merkulis, because we need to know the details about them, about what's involved in worshipping them. But when we have the basic list of 18 includes worshipping Avodah Zarah, meaning whatever kind of Avodah Zarah there is in the world, with all the details that we learned in the last few dafim. So why is it mentioning Moilach as a separate one in the list? Omer Abavin, Tnan, Commander Omer, Moilach Lava Vadizarahi. We learn, therefore, our Mishnah is following the opinion that Moilach is not considered a regular Avodah Zarah, meaning, in other words, for example, let's say a person, now here we learned previously that if a person were to bring a korban to Avodah Zarah, then he's chayev skila or kores or achatas, as the case may be, even if that's not the normal way of worshipping that Avodah Zarah. Even, let's say, Po'ur or Merkulis. Now, what we're saying, though, if Moilach is not Avodah Zarah, it means if a person were to bring a regular korban of an animal to Moilach, he wouldn't be chayev for that. So it means that Moilach is basically, it's a ritual that the Goyim had then, but it's not an actual Avodah Zarah for which the four Avodas would apply. D'tanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, echad lamoilach ve'echad l'shara v'rezorah chayev, that whether a person does this passing his children through fire for moilach or for other avodah zarah, he'd be chayev. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon Omer, but so according to the Tanakhama of this Braisa, then moilach is considered an avodah zarah. And therefore, the same rule would apply to it as to any other avodah zarah. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Moloch chayev shelo lemoloch potter. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says that no, only if he does it in honor of Moloch, then he'd be chayev, but otherwise he's potter. Because in other words, so in other words, according to him, Moloch is not really an avodah zarah. Then and Rashi also adds, given that we already learned before that any way in which an avodah zarah is normally worshipped is also eicha yavdu. So therefore, so if it was a so if it was an avodah zarah, then you wouldn't have to. The pasuk wouldn't have to single out that if a person passes his son and his child through fire to Moloch, he'd be chayev. We know already that any avodah zarah, the normal way of worshiping it, is chayev. Therefore, we're saying that Moloch, says Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, is not an actual avodah zarah. It's just it's a goyish ritual that they had then, and the Torah specifically singles out this goyish ritual and says you're not allowed to do it, and a person who does is chayev misa. So the Gemara points out, Omar Abaya, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, Amru Dover Echad. It comes out that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon ben Antignus, and the Nafka Minah is also, therefore, if a person were to do this passing through fire to some other avodah zarah, he wouldn't be chayev. If he burns the child, then he'd be chayev anyhow, because then that's burning for avodah zarah. But if he just had him walk between the fires, then he wouldn't, only if it's moilach. So there, Amar Abaye, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, Amru Davar Echad. It comes out that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus are basically saying the same thing. They're both explaining, they both have a similar shitta. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Hadamar, and we said that he holds that there's a difference between Moloch and actual Avodah Zarah, and therefore that this ritual is chayev only if he does it to Moloch. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, Titania, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, Omer, name Ma Tofs the Torah Loshen Moloch. Why does the Torah use the name Moloch? Means kol shem lichu aleihem, means anything that they call it Moloch, anything that they made a king over them, Moloch, Moloch, and Melech. So anything that they made a king over them, afilu tsrur, afilu kesam. Even if a person were to take a little pebble or a little chip of wood, which is not something that a person would worship, and they declare it a Moloch, then if a person now goes and sets up fires and passes a child between them in honor of this chip of wood or this pebble, then he'd be chayev misa or chatas if it was b'shogeg, as opposed to any other avodah zarah is not so, because again other avodah zarahs are not worshipped in this kind of way. Rava Omar, Rava says no, not like Abaya says. Moloch arai ikabinaihu. The nafkamina between them. No, there is actually a difference. Says Rava. Rava, you're saying Rabbi that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus are saying the same thing. Namely, both of them are saying that Moloch is not really avodah zarah. No, the difference is. When you have, if they take and set up a temporary moloch, so they take again, like you were saying, a pebble or a chip of wood, then would he be chayev as moloch or not? That's actually Rava says is a machloikus between these two tanoim. You Abaya are saying that both of them would agree that he's chayev. Rava says no. The nafkamina would be Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus would say that he's chayev because he's saying that it means anything shem lichu aleihem, as opposed to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon would require it to be a permanent moloch, something that's used long term as a moloch, not just something where a person temporarily takes a pebble or whatever and declares it moloch and does this. So Rava says that case that you're saying Abaya, that you're saying both Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus would agree to, I'm telling you, says Rava, they would actually disagree on that. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon would say he's potter, only Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus would say he's chayev. Okay, the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yana, ein chayev ad shim sirenu l'meshosei avodah zarah. When is he chayev from Moloch? It means when he gives over the child to the priests of the avodah zarah, of the Moloch. So again, in other words, because we said in the Mishnah, he gives him over to Moloch, but it didn't specify what that means exactly. So Rabbi Yana explains that it means to give it over to the priests. That's how Rashi learns, and a number of other Rishonim learn that way as well. On the other hand, the Ran asks on that and says the Ran explains that no, Rabbi Yana is saying when we say Shiyim Sirenu L'Moloch, that it means that Rabbi Yana wants us to know where we're learning that from. Where do we know that there's a concept that you have to actually, that it has to actually be, that he gives him over to the priests? In other words, he's not saying how, in other words, he's not telling you the actual din that we know from the Mishnah. He's telling you where we learn this from. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Misara choloi sitin lahavu lamolach. The Pasuk says you should not give from your descendants to pass through to Moloch. So in other words, the implication is there has to be a giving to somebody else. So who is the somebody else? Would be the priests of Moloch. Similarly, in a brisa, Yochel Hevriv and Moshe Yehechayev, you would think that if he passes all of his children through the fires over there, but he didn't beforehand give them over to the priests, which again, you have this machlokas, whether that means the priests themselves then pass the child through or whether they return him to the father and the father does it. Anyway, so you'd think that Yehi Chayev, maybe you should be Chayev as well. No, Tamad Lai Malay Sitin. Therefore, the pasuk says, Lai Sitin, there has to be a giving over of the child to the priests. Yochel Hever, Yochel Mosel Amolach Vele Hever. What happens if he gave it to the priests? But they didn't actually pass him through the fire. Yochel Yehei Chayev, you would think that he should be Chayev. Tamad Lai Malahavir, therefore the pasuk says to pass through. So don't give it to them in order to pass through. Most of a Hever, the Shaloi Lamoilach Yochel Yehei Chayev, you would think a person is Chayev if he does this for some other Getchke. Tamad Lai Malamoilach, therefore the pasuk says Lamoilach, it's specific to Moilach, this concept. It doesn't apply to other Getchkes, like we said, on Omer Aleph, because it's only, this is a specific ritual for Moilach. And again, as we said, that our Mishnah and the Braisa are following the opinion that Moilach is not actually considered a separate, is considered a separate ritual of its own. It's not a regular Avodah Zarah. And Rashi also explains when it says lois sitin lahavir means, in other words, when you give it to them, usually they're going to be passing it through. But nevertheless, it still has to be that they actually do that. He's not chayev unless they actually do that. Lois sitin lahavir means you shouldn't give them for the purpose of bringing him through, and therefore it has to be that both things happened. That it's not just one or the other. So now, what about if he did it for a different avodah zarah? Yochel yei chayev, you would think he's chayev tamad loyma lamoilach. Therefore, it says specifically to moilach. What about Moshe v'hever l'moilach v'loy ba'ish? What happens? He did give it to the priests of Moilach, and they did pass him through, but not with fire. They didn't make the fires over there. They just had him walk along a platform between other things. Yochel Yehechayev? No. Nemakan lahavir? No, because we know, because here the pasuk says, or Mizar, it says, Mizarach olesitin lahavir l'moilach, v'nem lahavir l'moimotzim v'chob mavir b'noi uvitir ba'ish. In a different pasuk, in Shoftim, it says there shouldn't be anybody among the Jewish people who passes their child, their son or daughter, in fire. So we learn from Gzeira Shava, Malahalan, Ba'esh, Afkan Ba'esh, the same way as in Parashat Shoftim, it refers to fire, the same way in Achrei Mos, when it mentions worshipping Moilach, it also means having him pass through fire. Umakan Moilach, and just like over here, it means specifically Moilach, Aflahalan Moilach, the same way the one in Parashat Shoftim, Mavrub No Bitter Ba'esh, is also talking about this ritual of Moilach. So therefore, we have all the details that we mentioned in the Mishnah. The Gemara adds, Omer of Acha Brei D'Rava, Hever Kol Zarei Potter. If a person passes all his children through, then he's Potter. Shenema Umi Zaracha, because the pasuk says, and from your children, meaning V'loi Kol Zarecha, implying but not all your children. Now, why would that be so? So first of all, Tosfos points out a practical matter. Once he does the first child, then already he's chayev. So how can he now be potter? By the time he does the rest of them, it's too late to potter him. So Tosfos says, let's say, for example, he has only one child to begin with. Or let's say he had them all done at the same time. So then we're saying he'd be potter. What's the logic of that? So those mephoshim who understand that moilach involves actually sacrificing and burning the child, they say, for one thing, because then it means that nobody would be so foolish to do that. So it means, in other words, almost like he's not in his right mind or something, or the Meshech Chochma says another point, like the whole Moilach thing was always one big scam over there, where they convince a person you only have to give up one of your children, and then you'll have wealth and everything else from that. But if he does all his children, nobody's going to be convinced for such a thing in the first place. A number of other Rishonim who say, like Rashi, that it doesn't mean, like the Rambam, that it doesn't mean burning the child, they explain he did so much of the Avera that therefore at this point he can't even have Kapora from Mrs. Bastin anymore. The Eibishter will have to deal with him. The Gemara continues, Boy Ravashi, Heviro Suma Mahu. What would happen if the child was blind and he had him pass through? Now, the child himself is not able to go by himself, so therefore maybe even the father takes him through, or the priests take him through, or whatever. Maybe, in other words, the vote is, it has to be where the child is able to go by himself, and then instead the ritual is that the priests or the father take him through. But now he's blind, where he himself is not able to, then maybe he's not Chayev. Yoshin Mahu, what if the child is asleep? Ben Bnei or Ben Bitei Mahu, what happens if it's not his own child but his grandchild? So the Gemara says, Tifshit Miyachoda. Of these questions, we can't answer all of them, but at least we can answer one of them. Netanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, Ki Mizara in Nosan Lamoilach, in yet another place, so you have Mizara Cholosit and La'av Lamoilach. Then in Parashas Kedoshim, it discusses the punishment for it, that a person is Chayev Skila or Kores for it. And the Pasuk says, Ki Mizara in Nosan Lamoilach, from he gave from his children to Moilach. Ma Tamad Loimah, now why does the Pasuk need to say that? We already have in earlier Pesukim where it talks about that he gives over his children to Moilach. So Lafisha Namar, because the warning of it is in Parashas Shoftim, Lo Yimotze B'chav Ma'aviv B'noyu B'tei Be'esh, it mentions his son or his daughter, Einli Ela B'noyu B'tei, so from that you would only know if it's his actual son or daughter, Ben B'noyu Ben B'tei Minayin, and how do we know he's chayiv even for his grandchildren, Tamad Loimah B'sitei Mizaroi, therefore the Pasuk says he gives over of his Zaroi, of his seed, to Molech, so that includes any of his, descendants. So Rashi points out that the Gemara is actually the Gemara actually asks the question. Tana posach b'kimi zaroi v'solik b'siti mizaroi. What do you mean? The Gemara began asking why we need a certain posach, which is posach gimel over there, and an answer is why we need posach beis. Why is the Braisa doing that? Why is it not explaining why we need posach gimel? So the answer is drasha achrinu, because we have another drasha that the Braisa is implying. Ainli ela zera kosher zaroi, when it says zaroi, as far as the punishment, ainli ela zera kosher. From that you would know only if it's kosher to children, only not mamzerim, for example. Zera posel minai, and how we know he's chayev even if the child is a mamzer or other kind of posel like that. Tamad leiman b'sitei mizaroi. Therefore, we have another posel b'sitei mizaroi. So there's both. In other words, there's we know that it includes even grandchildren from one pasuk, and we know that it includes even if the children or grandchildren are mamzerim or otherwise psulim, we know from another pasuk. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Amar of Yehuda, ene chayev ad sheyavir enu derech ha'avara. He's chayev for molach only if he passes it through in the way of passing through. What does that mean? Hechidomi, what does that mean? Amar Abaya, shraga delivni, it means they have a high row of bricks. B'mitzi, and the shraga delivni b'mitzi, they have a row of bricks, like a walkway made out of bricks in the middle. V'nura mehai gisa, and there's a fire on each side. So it's literally being mavu bo'eh, she's passing the child on the platform of bricks between the stones, on the platform between the fires. So again, Rashi makes the point that the child is not burnt, but again, there are Rishonim who learn that they actually would burn him, and the Oruch actually says kind of in between. It means that they would first they would have him walk through on this brick platform over there, but then they would have him walk back and forth until eventually the fire catches a hold of him and he actually does get burnt. So that's Abaya's definition of how Moilach was done. Rava Amar Kamashvarta de Purya. Rava says it's like the jumping of Purim. On Purim, people would make as part of the Purim fun, they would have a hole in the ground with a fire in it, and children would jump across from one side to the other. An interesting thing we find in ancient sources. We find in ancient Lahavdo Goyisha sources that on Purim they'd make like an effigy of Haman, like a dummy representing Haman. And they'd hang it on roofs, and afterward they'd burn it on Purim. So this Mashvarta de Puria seems to be part of that as well. They'd burn it in a hole in the ground, and as part of the fun, children would jump back and forth over the burning Haman. So Rava says that's the definition of passing through from Moilach is jumping over a fire over there. The Gemara says Tanya Kava said the Rava. We learn a Braisa like Rava's definition. He's on chayev only if he passes it through in the normal way, and if he passes it through on foot, then he's potter. So we see it can't be like Abaya, because Abaya's definition is he is walking through it on foot. He's walking along this brick walkway between the fires. So it has to be like Rava, that it involves jumping over a fire. And the Braisa continues, "V'ena chayev el al yotze yirechay." Now he's only chayev only if it's his actual descendants that he does this ritual of Moilach for. Okay, it said, what does this mean? B'noyu b'tei chayev, if he does his own son or daughter, he'd be chayev. Ovi v'imai, but if he takes his father or mother and does them with this ritual of Moilach, ochi v'achoy, so his brother or sister, potter, then he would be potter. Hever atzmei potter. Also, if he makes himself pass through, if he himself walks through or jumps through, then he'd also be potter. But Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon says that in that case he's chayev if he does it himself for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain. And echad la moilach ve'echad l'shad avod ezara chayev. And again, we have the machlokas that we had on Amud Aleph. This would apply whether to moilach or to any other getchke. Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon omer la moilach chayev shelo la moilach potter. And Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon says only to moilach, not to anything else, because we talked about on Amud Aleph, Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon considers that moilach is not a regular avod ezara. It's a special kind of goyish ritual. Well, the Gemara says, "Oma Ola, my time of Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon. Why does Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon say that he's chayev if he himself walks through?" So he says, "Oma Kra," because the pasuk says, "Lo yimotze b'cha." There should not be found in you, which implies b'cha ba'atzmcha, in you yourself. So, in other words, we see, says Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon, that the person himself walks through, then he's also chayev for moilach. Therefore, so it means ba'atzmacha. So the question is, Rabbanon le'darshi b'cha. So what are the chachamim? Do they not darshan the word b'cha in these kinds of contexts? V'hatnan, we learn, for example, in a Mishnah in Bava Metzia, in Eila Metzias, avedase v'avedas av. If a person has something that he himself lost and there's something that his father lost, shaloi kodemes, then he should go, he can go look for his first, even though it means he might not find his father's and his father is going to suffer a loss. What about kibud avim? I mean, in my time, va'omer of Yehuda amakra, efes kiloi yebacha evyon, because the pasuk says, however, there should not be in you a poor person, which means shaloi kodemes the shal kaladam. It means that yours b'cha, what applies to you, comes ahead of everybody else. So as much as there's kibud avim and as much as the shavas aveda and everything, then b'cha means that you yourself should make sure that you don't become poor. The answer is hosam me'efes, because there, the chacham are not darshaning from the word b'cha, they're darshaning from the word efes, where the word efes means becoming poor, ki ofes kosef, Rashi says. So the word efes itself means you have to make sure to remove, to get rid of any possibility of poverty from yourself. So they're not actually learning from the word b'cha, so here also Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is darshaning from b'cha, that includes that he himself did it, and the chachamim disagree and say that he'd be poter in that case. So we'll finish up this discussion. We'll finish up this discussion about Moloch tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and then we'll continue on the next ones that it said in the Mishnah, the next ones that are Chayev Skila, the Baal Oven Yidoni. We'll get into that.